What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes Football Barbershop Talk. It's your boy Larry. We here for the Notre Dame preview. We're just working a two-man for this one here, man. It's going to be a give and go. Just me in the field, general, man. Say what's up to the people, X.
What's up? Hey, man, it's football, man. We got football tonight. Canes got football Sunday. Shit, what the saying is, what a time to be alive.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, we're recording right now. This is Thursday. Yep, Thursday. And we got two college games on tonight. We got Nebraska and Cincinnati.
I didn't know that. I only thought it was South Florida and Boise.
Yeah, South Florida and Boise at 5:30. And I believe 9 o'clock, you got Nebraska at Cincinnati. Let me double check. Don't give me the line. I'm sure I saw that a little bit earlier. I was looking to see what the action was looking like for the night. Yep, 9 o'clock. Yep, Nebraska visiting Cincinnati. So two games, man. We officially in it, man. We had a game, last week? We had Kansas State, Iowa State.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good kickoff game. Everybody was, complaining about why the hell they go to Ireland and this field sucks and, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but they got to do a better job than that. Like, they got to know you can't travel that far, man, to play on the field like that. Like, you got to have some contingency plans. Like, it's supposed to be a dome or something. That's just unacceptable for us to bring a college brand over there. But
I get it for branding. I like it for world exposure. I don't like a conference game there. If I'm a conference team, like I just don't want a head-to-head. Somebody should be able to have a home field advantage in a conference game. So I don't want to go all the way to Ireland.
Probably got paid good for them to do that.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, it's the second time ACC done it, right? Last year, Georgia Tech beat Florida State, and then this year, Big 12 doing it. Just me personally, yeah, as the conference, sure, that's big money for them. As a coach of the team, I don't want that. I don't want that shit. I'm like, nah, I want, not for no conference game. Let's do a cool exhibition. Like, if they really want to do that and, like, maybe even move the spots around, like, maybe go somewhere else next year, Germany or South America, whatever you want to do just to, spread the global brand. But I would do it more like a kickoff game, where it would be cross conference. And it don't matter. It's an exciting matchup, but it don't necessarily kill your season either or put you off on a rough start of the season. So, that's just my two cents. If y'all listening, Big 12 commissioner, ACC commissioner, if y'all listening to the show, and I know y'all, just something to consider. Let's just do a little cross-up game or whatever. But it was fun, man. Avery Johnson, daddy was fighting his brother in the parking lot. I was like, it's lit.
What was that about, man?
Bro, real shit. I was like, yo, fam, I know damn well you're not fighting your daddy, my dear.
You were fighting him in a whole nother country.
Like, in another country. It probably looked like an old head, too, at least at that moment. And the thing, too, was he wasn't even really getting the best of him. It was like a little tangle. I was like, oh, man, if you're going to fight Pops, you got to destroy him and let him know you're the new king of the jungle.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was probably, it's probably the brother probably saying something about the son by Avery, and Pops was like, man, you're not going to talk about Avery like that. And they probably
That Guinness was whooping their ass over there. They say that Guinness in Ireland a little bit different than the stuff you get here.
It's more natural, so.
Right. But anyways, yeah, everybody know we here now. We got our first game of the year, the much hyped top 10 matchup. This old bad blood. I'm gonna tell you, man. I typically run the 26 account primarily. And you know, they you know, Twitter good at this, and they like put all of the For You stuff. So all I've been seeing in the For You is a bunch of Notre Dame people talking. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can't wait for this shit to be over. I don't want to see them in my feed at all. They sound crazy out there.
These people are so, like, I get, they say, man, Canes fans be delusional.
Yeah.
We say the other two teams in the state delusional. Listen, I don't know if I've ever heard or seen a team of fans be more delusional than Notre Dame. They basically apparently feel like they have the best team walking on earth. It feel like the Canes got nothing going on for themselves. I've had somebody tweet me, Mario isn't a good line, O-line coach. I was like,
man, people,
I'm not going to keep going back and forth with these guys, because it's like, I can understand trolls. That's okay. That's a troll, but all right,
I don't think that's no troll. I think that's just pure ignorance.
Yeah, make it make sense. Like, come on.
I'm like, bro, that just, and then, you know, it was this one guy, I think he go like his headline or whatever, Notre Dame insider. He said they eight deep at defensive tackle. I said, I heard it all now, man. Eight deep? At D tackle?
At D tackle. Y'all ain't even finna play that. I mean, y'all barely might play that many D linemen. Talk about 8D.
There's no team in the universe that is 8D. Never has been. Never. The best teams you can ever think of. And you can't count. Oh, we had such and such, and he was the third string or the fourth string. That's because he wasn't ready yet. He wasn't in the rotation yet. He had to put on some weight, gain some strength. This man said they got 8 DTs deep. Like, they going to rotate in 8 defensive tackles? Not on this planet, sir. Nobody's that deep. Yeah. I was like, that's the dumbest take I ever heard in my life. All respect went out the window when I saw that one. Your best teams just don't have that. Your prime Alabama's, your prime Miami's. You can say, oh, in a few years, such and such came up. Yeah, but that's because he developed, got his weight up, got his technique together, and then he was ready by his, you know, junior year, sophomore, junior year, he was able to step up. But – you know, what we're gonna do basically for y'all, man, we just gonna kind of run through their roster, because we done been through ours pretty extensively, and then just kind of give you game predictions, how we think this game could go, and you know, how we arrive at victory. Be clear, it's a fan podcast, so I here, spoiler alert, we don't predict a loss. So I get that out there right now. I can't do it. That's a lot of bitch assness I can't be a part of. Yeah. Ain't no way I'm gonna predict the loss. I don't care who we playing.
I'm at the point. And listen, I made a comment. I say, listen, they done called us convict for years. I'm finna call them people perverts.
That was a good push.
The convict versus the perverse. That's what we got going on. They like that. Y'all some weird fans. I like, well, I mean, tell a priest stop putting his hands on the little boys.
Right? Like, we coming. I'm going to tell you who reputation is a little worse. I hate to break it to you. When I saw you saying that, I was like, oh, that's perfect. How has that not always been the name? I'm like, yeah, for sure. We'll wear convict. Y'all got to wear perverts, though. Y'all got to wear that one.
And the crazy thing is like, it's there. Like, y'all can't deny it. There's no way y'all can deny it. Like, come on.
Yeah. Legendary. You know what I like too, heading into this game, they I knew it was gonna piss them off real big too. They altered the Notre Dame logo to him carrying the rock. He was carrying the football. I said, oh, they finna lose their shit, boy. They gonna say that why they lost. I'm telling you now. When it's over with, get that fucking logo out of here. We would have kicked their ass had that not happened. But I was like, oh, that's just, I can already see it. It's already loaded up. But yeah, let's run through it, man. We start at the top of usual, quarterback. They went with, you know, it was a whole thing on delusion talk. We heard they had, what was it? They said a Mahomes and a, who was the quarterback they compared the other one to? Was it Jackson?
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, they had Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson problems at quarterback. And again, I'm like, man, what a phenomenal team. Like, can't believe these guys weren't playing last year. Why didn't even get Riley? If you had Mahomes in the tuck, you know, at least he could throw. Riley couldn't throw. He was their second leader in rusher last year. So at 900 yards, so not no shabby production for no quarterback.
Yeah,
this year it'll be different.
Riley, he threw for 3,000 yards, 900 yards rushing. Before we even break their roster down, I told them, I say, just think of replacing 3,000 yards and 900 yards rushing at your quarterback spot. He was your main focal point on offense. Don't give me this Jordan Love was your main focal point. He wasn't.
Right.
Jordan Love, I mean, Jeremiah Love, he benefited.
Well, Jeremiah.
Probably 75% of what Riley did, because they was right. Like, oh, Riley finna pull this thing, or he gonna throw it.
Right.
That's just so I'm telling them, I say, that offense is gone. Now what? Y'all think right. Y'all
around new look offense. Totally new look offense. And I think that's why they wanted Minshew to kind of win the job, so they wouldn't have to shift so far away from what they did last year. You know, because Minshew is the quarterback with more mobility. He could kind of, you know, hurt you with his legs out there, but they ultimately went with CJ Carr, you know, true freshman, or I'm sorry, redshirt freshman, beg your pardon.
Don't forget, he's an elite 11 guy. Remember, they
elite kept, 11, correct? Oh, he's a 5-star.
He's an elite. I'm like, what the hell does that even mean?
it mean, he got the right pedigree. He is Lloyd Carr grandson, you know, legendary Michigan coach. So I already don't like him because he went to the wrong school. Your granddaddy a legendary Michigan coach, and you end up going to Notre Dame. That tells me a lot about you right there. But they went with Carr. So Carr is going to be, you know, more your pocket passer type quarterback. And honestly, we can't tell you a lot about him because he just hasn't played much football. We just know the stylistic differences. I anticipate, and you can stop me if you think differently, X, I think they're going to have a few packages for Minshew just to throw us off balance. I don't think it's going to work that well, because I'm going to tell you right now, I believe when Minshew comes in, he's going to run it. And I think we'll bobble it up. I think it'll be too obvious, because I don't think they trust him either.
It's going to be I keep telling them, I say, man, they're going to play both quarterbacks. They got mad at me when I said, well, listen, Notre Dame about to run a triple option. And it was a joke, but they thought I was being serious. I'm like, what y'all think? Y'all finna just trust us? Both of them first time playing, throwing the ball. Like,
right.
I don't get it, but.
Night game. And again, Notre Dame fans, I understand you're saying, oh, we ain't sold out yet. Hey, you're right. We ain't sold out yet. Also, the tickets are astronomical. I bought my tickets. These tickets are crazy. And the average Miami ticket is nowhere near this. So, hey, hats off to you for being a big show, for sure. It's a rivalry game. We can't stand y'all. And they knew it, so they jerked the prices up on everybody. I mean, the nosebleeds are $225.
They resold it. That's it. People who bought tickets just saying, okay, I could buy them for cheap, and then I'm going to resell them for a high price. Like, I know people who bought season tickets at, just say, $600. They sell them one game ticket for $600, $650. They made their money back.
But the difference on this one is you can still go to Miami site. I'm talking about direct purchases, like $200-something for the nosebleeds. That's crazy. I'm like, well, no one ain't sold out. Listen, that's too much. Bottom line, ain't got nothing to do with being broke, blah, blah, blah. Paying $200-something sitting in the third tier is crazy. That is absolutely insane, absolute insanity. But it's going to be packed. Believe that. Even if it's not at 100% capacity, which is like 68,000, plan on 60.
It's going to be 68,000, especially.
They get to sell all the way? I think at the very, very end, they'll get rid of those last ones.
But, okay, so I remember when we were playing Florida State last year, they were like, oh, boy, we still a whole bunch of tickets left. when guess what? When that game kicked off, it was sold out.
Yeah. You know, that's a last minute culture in Miami. Everybody get that. That actually knows the culture down south of Miami. It's always been that way. You know, that don't expect. Everybody know. You remember when you had the Heatles, when you had LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. The first half of the game used to be empty. People still up there partying. Then they'd be like, "All right, let's go catch the second half."
And see what they got going on.
Right. It's just a different vibe. You know, and I tweeted that out for 26. Y'all have this grand delusion that we as Miami fans want to be like the rest of the college blue blood. That's never been the blueprint. The reason a person like me, not from Miami, I'm from Georgia. Why do I like Miami? Why? Because they was the bad boys. Because they was the anti-establishment. So it's never been about just being like y'all. Oh, we sell out every game. Well, awesome. That's cool. There's a different standard here. We ain't pulling up to no bullshit. If this shit trash, nah, we ain't pulling up. Oh, support the team. Nah. They got to do better than that. Fuck that. If this shit ain't worth seeing, bro, I'm going to do something else today. That's just what it is. Y'all, and if you want to pull up rain, sleet, hail, snow, and I'm that kind of fan. If I was down south, I'd be at every game if I lived down there. But I totally understand those who are like, oh, no, I'm vibing, bro. I'm not pulling up enough. And, you know, it's just going to be that way. So, like, this grand delusion y'all got that we want to be like y'all is out of control. We don't want to be like Gainesville. We don't want to be like, Tallahassee or South Bend. Who want to be like South Bend, Indiana? I'd be forgetting this even Indiana on the map. Indiana. Yeah, that's right. That's the state. Nobody thinks about no damn Indiana, bro.
At all.
I forget y'all out there. Anyways.
Man, tell me, the same type of humility in South Bend is the same type of humility in Miami. I was like, what?
For sure. For sure.
I'm like, what?
Come on down.
All right.
Come on down. And like you said, I saw you tweeted out earlier. And we're going to see that night. It's supposed to rain that morning. Oh, boy. You talking about sticky. Oh, it's going to be humid. And I don't know what. Bring your towel. I'm down to make sure I pack mine now. When I get ready to pack my bag, I'm making sure I got my white towel. It's going to be sticky out there. But, yeah, I mean, that's basically the quarterback situation. It's two young guys, not a lot of experience there. And it's just keeping it being, it's just not much to fear in that quarterback room. There's some untapped talent. This isn't a great situation for them, though. No matter how good they may eventually be, this just ain't the way you want to start on the road, night game, hostile environment. This just isn't an ideal situation. And I'm surprised they didn't go to the portal, especially just for this game. Knowing that you would want somebody that you could really lean into, because they did it with Hartman and they did it with Riley, but this time around they decided to stick with the guy that on the roster, and that's respectable. But I think it might bite them in the butt.
They tried to go for them, but they just couldn't get that guy. So you know, over on the Cameo page, we posted we basically posted Riley High School highlights, you know, and we broke it down. The one thing he does that's bad, if he ain't got this fixed, then it's going to be bad. He holds that ball a lot longer than he's supposed to.
Who are you talking about now?
Riley, CJ Riley.
Carr?
I mean, CJ Carr, my bad.
Carr. I was like, wait, you don't miss me? Not yet. You going back to last year. Okay.
CJ Carr, he holds the ball.
Tennessee, the old rock.
Yeah, he holds the ball longer than he's supposed to. And sure. I'm going to just keep it a buck, man. He might get killed because number four, he on some like some business type stuff. You know?
Yeah. Let's keep it rolling, man. I that's something to definitely watch for. Running back. Now, obviously, this is the strength of their team. You got the much hyped Jeremiah Love, a talented guy, no doubt. One knock I would give him is. He doesn't necessarily have the grand production against the better teams, but I'll say that with doing a little more research, I will give them credit for this. They do a pretty balanced rotation and split. So their second running back, Jadarian Price, who's also a junior, is also a he's also a potential NFL running back as well. And then behind them, they've got Aeneas Williams, who I actually think is the son of the safety, if I'm not mistaken.
I was gonna ask, is that the son of the Aeneas Williams who used to play for the Cardinals?
Yeah, I'm almost certain that is his father. Actually, let me look it up real quick since I done brought it up. But and then behind him, they got a freshman that's kind of cracked the rotation for him. He'll be their fourth guy, it looks like, Nolan James, true freshman. You know, I doubt he'll play against us, but he's a guy that is kind of secured that fourth spot. So maybe if they had an injury or something like that, you could see him coming to the game. I give him that for sure. They've done a good job in that running back room. And I believe that'll be for defense. That'll be our biggest challenge, is trying to bottle up this running game.
Is it bad if I say I like Price better than I like Love?
No. I see what people like about Price. About Love, excuse me. He does have like good hip movement. He's got nice feet. You know, he does have some power and balance. I'd like to see it come together, you know, a little bit more consistently against the big dogs. But, you know, I wouldn't be mad at Price. Why do you say you feel the other way, though? Like
I like Price because I think Price is like your – okay, Love is he's a good back. I think he could be an every down back. But when I look at Price runs the ball, I say, okay, he's a tough runner through the tackles. He blocks good. He catches good out the backfield. I just like that natural run ability that Price has.
Word. You know, I
look at Love, I'm like, okay, Love look like he's always trying to look for the big play. And that's not bad. You know, when you're a running back, you're a big play running back, you look for big plays. But like you said earlier, I don't think he's proven himself in the big games against the big teams. You know, like they broke it down. I'm like, oh well, he had this and this and that. I'm like, man, we not. I say, is there no way universe y'all finna just say Army and Navy are good football teams? Y'all not finna get do that. Oh well, he did this against Indiana. Okay, we not finna do that either. Don't act like Indiana is every year some sort of
right. Powerhouse. Oh, they had a year. We got to pump the brakes.
I think another thing, they were like, oh, he had like 100 some yards, but then it was a 90 yard break. I was like, well, shit.
That was the Indiana game. That was his one like huge run. He had I think it was like 98 yards. He ripped off a big run there. And just FYI, Aeneas Williams is not Aeneas Williams' son.
Oh, that's not the son. Okay.
Nah. Weirdly enough. I thought it had to be with that name because that's just not a name you hear.
Yeah, that's not a name. Yeah,
but yeah, I like the running backs, man. Disrespect to the running back.
They got a good backfield. They got a good running backs. Good running backs. I guess like if we went position for position, I give them the edge at running back.
A little more production. And that's why I don't think the potential there is necessarily much higher than our potential, but I'll give them the edge because those guys, they kind of one and two have more production than our one and two. Our one and two, one has a good bit of production. Our two, you know, he was the third running back last year, true freshman. We, we kind of game plan and kind of stuck heavy to the 1-2 combo last year. So he didn't get a lot of opportunities, but he made a hell of a lot out of those opportunities, and kind of in that same breath, I think he's the better of the two running backs that we got as far as full potential. I think Mark can definitely prove himself to be an NFL guy this year. I think Jordan already looks like one in the small sample size we have, but we'll see.
Don't forget Shamar Brown. I mean, that
right.
And that's where I'm like, when you think about it. But I get it. They're gonna be like, oh well, he played weaker competition. But if we talking running backs, I'm like, man, I love our three now.
For sure. All right, let's look at the wide receivers. So it's funny. I tell you, man, he's been a funny guy on Twitter, man. Quarterback used to play Malik Zaire, that played for Notre Dame, and then he transferred. I remember people laughing at him because he made a transfer graphic, and it was like, what? Your old ass, you too old for this shit.
When he, me and him kind of, we was tweeting against, you know, each other. I didn't know who he was until somebody told me who he was.
Oh, yeah.
I tweeting this bum. This nigga was trash. I didn't know who he was until he had to say, oh, that's.
Yeah, because he was never that. And then he made the comment like, is this Miami or transfer you? And I'm like, you wasn't transferred. You left Notre Dame. And if you go look at his page, he don't got nothing Florida, bro. He don't rep Florida at all. He transferred to Florida, and you'll never know it. He tried to hide that part of his life. But I remember you made that graphic. But they went into the portal to help out with their wide receiver corps. They got Malachi Fields, senior from Virginia. He transferred in from UVA. He was productive, and I didn't like their – you know, their quarterback, you know, situation over there in Virginia. He's actually a native Virginian too, so it's probably a big reason why he went there. 6'4" guy, 220, you know, so he'll provide that big outside body, you know, that could be a challenge, you know, and he's an older guy. So definitely a guy that, you know, you want to keep your eye on. Then you got backing him up. They're young once you back him up, because right now it looks like the depth chart is Micah Gilbert and Cam Williams. So two true freshmen on the outside. You know, I can't knock it because we looking at some true freshmen that we think can really contribute. But if you on the flip side for them, I guarantee you they having the same question marks. Well, these are true freshmen. What will they do? So I got to do the same thing. What will they really be able to contribute at this level? And the difference, especially in this game, is they're going to have to deal with crowd noise. Our freshmen are not going to have to. It's not going to be the same type of environment for them as it will be for their side of the football. You know, they feel like he could go if called upon. You know, and then the Cam Williams guy is he's somebody they think he's kind of the faster speedster type, you know, outside wide receiver. So I don't know if they'll get down to him anyways, but you know, time will tell. And then the other side, you got Jaden Greathouse. Is that Greathouse?
Yeah.
And I think they got it listed as or Will Pauling, two older guys there. And then be backed up by Logan Saldate, a freshman there. So,
the guy who I think, if it's not Malachi Fields that's going to get the ball a lot, it's going to be Jordan Faison. He's the one that I've been hearing a lot about.
Yeah, he's the slot guy. Yeah. They got him slated to start in the slot, backed up by KK Smith, a sophomore. And Elijah Burris. Now, I'm pretty sure this is Plexico Burris' son.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm wrong again. Matter of fact, I just clicked on this picture. That's Plexico Burris' son. I don't even got to look that up. As soon as I clicked on this picture, I was like, oh, no, that definitely is son. I heard some good things by him. Young man might be a guy. You know, he got to get the offense down, but athletically gifted. Obviously, he got, you know, good pedigree. You know, he's not quite as big as his dad was. I think his dad's a little. He's listed at 6 foot, 80.
6'5", 6'6".
Yeah, I was about to say Plexico was taller than that. Yeah, that's what I thought. But for a freshman, 180 pounds. So you coming in, I see why they feel like he's ready to contribute. He's got a pretty good physical build at that young age, but they got him kind of slotted in the as the third wide receiver at the slot as of right now. You know, I think with Faison, like you said, they'll use him like in the jet screens, you know, the end around type stuff like that. It's kind of because I think you would probably put him kind of comparable to what we think maybe Keelan Marion could be for us on offense. But I think he's a better, more polished actual wide receiver as well. But I think that would be kind of the push, especially this game, where I don't think they want to trust a freshman either way to really push the ball that much downfield. Let's see. We'll slide on over to... God,
damn it. The news I just got, man. What the hell?
What's going on?
Breaking news. They saying Cowboys being traded Parsons away to the Packers.
What? Oh, shit. Yeah, I just got that too.
What the hell?
Oh, man. Look at the deal he got. Jesus Christ. 4 years, $188 million. Wow. That is crazy money. Sorry for your loss, Ed.
God damn. Happy for him, man. $188 million. Shit, I'm happy for him, but
yeah, that's crazy,
man. Hell, we got what we got for him, because goddamn,
rid of a big contract. That's crazy. I thought they would get that done. I thought they would get that done, man. I'm kind of shocked with that one.
Well, Parsons made it clear he didn't want to play for Jerry Jones no more. So,
yeah, done with it. Yeah, I respect it. When you're done, you're done. When you're done, you're done. When you had enough, that just is what it is.
Now I got
man, that's crazy.
Damn Parsons jersey away.
Let's see. Do we got any details? What did y'all get? $47 million a year. Yikes. Yeah, they ain't get the rest of the details yet. Just that 136 of it is guaranteed. That's crazy. Yikes. Yeah, congratulations, bro. Congratulations. Oh, man. Anyways, continue to go down their depth. Continue to go down their chart. Tight end. Now, you know, they got Eli Raridan, I think is how you say his name, senior. Big kids, 6'7". You know, they know him for tight ends as well. I gotta tip their hat there. They do well at the tight end position.
They always have some tight ends. 6'7", that's big, man. We gonna have to play some jump ball in that one.
Yeah. I think he's gonna be probably the most important player of the bracket. I think he'd be the X factor in this game because, you know, who's the quarterback's best friend in the passing game? Tight end. And this is a big target, too. So, you know, I think that when they do look to pass, I think you can see the young man look to him a lot because that's a pretty good feeling to know you got a 6'7", you know, tight end out there. He's backed up by junior Ty Washington and then freshman Jack Larson. I think, you know, kind of the vibe I'm picking up is that they aren't as tooled up at tight end as they kind of used to. Like, I think Raridan is a guy that they really like. But they, you know, I don't think they feel that comfortable about getting down into the depth chart too much at tight end right now. Another name, I think, James Flanagan was a freshman that has kind of been here, and he's been kind of picking up the pace there. But again, I don't think you see him in this game. So, you know, I think he might be the X factor for that offense is the tight end, Eli Raridan. As far as just a weapon that could kind of help make the difference on keeping them in this game, or if they were to have a chance to win this game, it would rely heavily on him. All right, O-line. We're gonna treat O-line like most other people.
But the significance plan, right, is on the left side. I think it's left. No, right side. Okay, yeah, left side, left side. The left tackle and left guard both are a lot smaller than normal. They 6'4".
Yeah, yeah, I saw that. Yep, yeah. A little bit, yeah, a little bit smaller than you typically would see. But, you know, Notre Dame traditionally has a good O-line unit, so I wouldn't sleep on them. I think they're expected to be a solid unit altogether. The starters would be from left to right. So you got tackle Anthony Knapp, left guard Billy Scharf, center Ashton Craig, right guard Gearby Lambert, who's actually a freshman. And I think they actually got that. Yeah, that's listed as an or Sullivan Absher. And right tackle Emil Wagner. He's a junior. So, I mean, without knowing, you know, O-line obviously don't get that type of love for the most part. But, you know, me looking around, me digging around, this is still considered to be a strength of their team. I think they did lose a guy that was expected to be a starter. I think he got into an ATV accident.
Yeah, the ATV accident, yeah.
And he got hurt. He got hurt on the ATV accident after he got hurt on the field. I was like, I know the coaches want to kick him square up in his ass. You supposed to be home recovering, and you done got yourself jacked up again. So, yeah, that pretty much – that's a look at the offense. You know, some weapons there. The running game should be solid. And, you know, the pass game is going to really lean into if these freshmen are able to kind of keep their head and distribute the ball. I don't know if they're going to go for a lot of the big shots downfield, that type stuff. But
I think, man, they're going to come in and try to bully us like they always try to do. You know, they O-line, they think they got one of the best O-lines in the nation. Okay, it's going to be put to the test. They got one of the best running back groups in the nation. It's going to be put to the test. Then they got a 6'4 receiver. They got a 6'7 tight end, and they got a nice slot guy. So they feel like they got everything put in place. But it's going to be put to the test. I think, you know, speaking on our defense, I think our defense is going to be ready because our D-line is a lot faster than their offensive line. So they're going to get to the point of attack before the offensive line. And that's how you win battles. We have a much better improved secondary that they don't even know. They still thinking the same shit coming from
Yeah, I saw somebody posted that the quarterback was already studying Miami film from last year. I was like, yeah, bro, that's not the same defense, man. Not the same defensive scheme. And it won't be the same player, so please continue to study up. Write it all down. Get all your notes. Get all your film study in. Surprise. That ain't what the hell you're going to see. So,
yeah, he's in for the rude awakening. If he think that shit rolling out from what last year was. So.
Nah, it won't be the same, brother, in any respect. You better go look at some Minnesota film. That'd be your best bet. Try to get a look at what the DC does there. All right, we'll flip over to the defensive side, you know, which was a big strength of them last year. They had, you know, Al Golden was the DC. He went on to be the DC for the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, Al's always a pretty good recruiter. You know, and they continue that for the most part on that side. I would say my overall kind of quick evaluation of the D-line was they are a little smaller than you would kind of expect. You know, like they just don't have the 300-pound like interior lineman that you would expect, especially out of Notre Dame. They're a little bit lighter there, but they got two
guys that's 300, but it's nothing to be. I don't think we should be worried about them.
Well, they 8 deep, so that's nothing to worry about. Any team that can rotate 8 defensive tackles on you. It's gonna be a long day because we're gonna be tired as hell. they're gonna be so fresh. It's gonna be hard to keep those fellas off the field, man. You know, being 8 deep, I'm like, Does he mean there's eight people listed at defensive tackle? Well, in that case, we are also eight deep.
He meant they're going to play eight D tackles. they will never be tired. They never going to be not. Eight guys can come in and play.
Hey, I like it. I like it. It's like a video game. Somehow you just do magic substitutions and everything. You just rotate two fresh guys every snap. We won't play no tempo or nothing like that on them. But real quick, we'll run through. It's from Al's defense. So remember this, Canes fans, the Viper? Remember we had that? They got the Viper, who is Boubacar Traore Jr. He'll be backed up by Junior. One of them, boy. Tuihalamaka. I think I got that one. Or Jordan Bethello. Both senior guys, older guys. So they got, some age there. So you got some age and experience, some snaps in there. And this was a good defense. I don't expect it to be a big fall off. I do, again, question, some of the size up front. But I think talent-wise, you're going to see a well-disciplined, physical and aggressive defense. I will say that. Then once you look at the other end, you got the starters, Bryce Young. He's the son of Bryant Young, 49ers legend.
Oh, that
big head.
Whole bunch of sons on their team, huh?
Yeah, they too. They got did Fitzgerald kid commit there too, Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
I feel like they got like three, younger boys.
They got three commits for the 26.
That's former NFL players, son. Yeah, he's doing a good job there, man. We'll see if they all pan out now. Bryce Young, he's supposed to be like that. Big kid, 6'7". So you talking about 6'7", 260 pounds, so that's some length.
Yeah, that's it's a big boy.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me build-wise of like a Greg Rousseau. So, he's a guy you got to watch out for batted passes. He's going to be able to get his hands on the offensive lineman. Luckily, we got some pretty big ones out there with some long arms, too, to help kind of cancel some of that out. But I guarantee you, I believe he's going to be trouble for a lot of other teams, though. As the year goes on, he'll be backed up by Josh Burnham, a junior, and Logan Thomas, a sophomore.
that name sounds so familiar. Ain't that the quarterback that was at Virginia Tech?
Yeah, Logan Thomas. Yeah, and then he went to the league. He played tight end. He wasn't too bad either. Wasn't a bad tight end. He was pretty solid. He just had injury issues. I think if he would stay healthy, I think you would have saw a pretty good tight end career for him at the end of the day. And then defensive tackle. I only got six deep. I don't have your other two. I apologize.
Somebody died.
No disrespect. Their starters would be Jason Onye and Donovan Hanish. And they'll be backed up by Gabriel Rubio, a senior, Cole Mullins, a freshman, who's looks like he's third in that, however they break it down, eight-man rotation. Jared Dawson, a senior, and Elijah Hughes. But I think, I think the Mullins kid, I think he's a redshirt freshman. So he has been around a little bit. But again, this room to me in general is a little bit small. So I would look for them to be kind of quick and athletic. I think, we ran the ball well, and I think that's something we could duplicate in this game as well. We'll see how that all pans out once we actually get to that point. Then linebacker, I had it wrong because I was talking about before. This is a kid they like. I was talking about the Kingston Viliama Asa kid. He's actually backing up Drake Bowen, who's a good linebacker himself. he'll be their starter at Mike, and then at Will, Jalen Snead Senior, and then Jaden Osbury will be backing him up. And then they kind of got this kid, Madden Ferriamo. He is a freshman. Looks like he'll be backing up both spots if it should come down to that. But kind of my understanding, it'll be like a four-man rotation. Definitely some talent there, especially at the mic. I think they got real good cornerbacks there. Linebackers there.
And I'm just going off of what Notre Dame fans are saying. They got the best depth ever to mankind. So,
oh, for sure.
All these linebackers, they say their linebackers are the best linebackers they've ever had on their team. I'm like, okay.
That's real.
They say their secondary is the number one secondary in the nation.
No doubt. You're supposed to feel that way. You feel the same way. We got a totally retooled secondary. So their secondary, obviously Leonard Moore, a guy's been real hype, and sophomore. He's impressive. He's a kid I expect that can make plays. And then opposite, you got Christian Gray, another solid. He's a junior himself. Another solid corner there. And those guys will be backed up, looks like, right now by freshmen on both sides, Mark Zachary, the fourth, and Cree Thomas, who's a freshman. And then you got Dallas Golden, another freshman, and Chance Tucker. So they get a little young after the starters. You know, not a ton of experience there, but the starters will be really, really good. A lot of people expect them to be one of the better secondaries in this country this year. And I think that's fair. I think that's a fair assessment or assumption, excuse me, early on. We, you know, obviously yet to be seen. And let's see, what else we got? All right, nickel, senior Devontae Smith, backed up by Carson Hobbs and Ben Minich, excuse me. And then safety, you got Jalen Stroman and Aiden Shuler. Stroman's a senior, Shuler's a sophomore, and then they'll be backed up by Tay Johnson, a freshman, Ethan Long, a freshman, Luke Talik, a junior, and Ethan Long. Well, actually, yeah, they got Ethan Long listed as kind of the backup safety for the field safety and the boundary safety. All right, so that's pretty much the squad, man. You know, like I said, the secondary should be, you know, it's considered to be one of the strengths of this team. I think they get a little young if they get a little injured, if they get a little banged up, and then that'll be kind of put to the test if they have to lean into that. But I'm gonna give the defense all the respect because I don't think, although they lost at DC, I haven't heard anything like it's going to be like a big move away from what Golden was doing.
You know, Freeman is a defensive guy, so he probably same terminology, front and all that. So, man, we almost here. I'm not impressed. I'm just keeping it a buck. They was calling me a homer last night on Space because I was like, I'm not impressed with anything Notre Dame bring in. And maybe that is the homer in me, or maybe that's just because I hate Notre Dame, but I'm just not impressed.
I think that's fair, though. I think impressive is a little bit of a push because of some of what you said earlier. I think offensively, they did a good job offensively, but it's not going to be that same look offense. And we're just going to narrow it down to this game. In this particular game, I just don't see the offense thriving. It's first game of the year. You got a freshman quarterback going on the road. It's going to be turned up, man. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be shaking in there. It's going to be very raucous crowd. I'm with you. I wouldn't call myself impressed in general. I think they went on an impressive run, you know, to get to the national title game. I didn't think they really had a chance to win that game. No part of me thought they was going to beat Ohio State, who I thought even Ohio State had, you know, some deficiencies because Will Howard was their quarterback. He just wasn't that good. Remember, he was the guy we kept on the back burner for Cam. You know, so he kind of took a shot at us later on, saying, you know, he wanted to play for championships, not money or whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, you know, damn well, you was ready to come to Miami. But we kept telling you, hold that thought real quick. Hold on. We're going to get back with you in a week. But we kept him warm. I say that. Kept him warm, but it was all for Cam Ward, who clearly was the much better quarterback at the end of the day. But I agree. I'm not super impressed. I don't think the offense is going to be able to thrive in that environment for several reasons. Defensively, I think they can give us some issues, but I think we, on the other hand, are going to be way more balanced. You got Carson Beck, who's played in plenty of big games. You know, the SEC, where every game is the toughest game on the planet, right? That's how I go. So, you know, I hear, you know, people say, oh, he didn't do so great in some of the tough games. I said, shit, y'all told me all the SEC games are tough. You know, so which one are we counting? Now, if he struggled against against Florida, but then he thrived against, say, Kentucky, y'all told me those were all tough. All of them tough. So that narrative don't really hold true to me. This is a get money year for him. I think our O-line will be able to be – I think they're going to be able to kind of have their way, in all honesty. You saw what Cam had last year, all night and day, to sit in that pocket, get comfortable, and do what he wanted to do. And I think, obviously, that'll let us be balanced. We'll open up running holes. We got, you know, a great 1-2-3 punch at running back. If you want to criticize us, you can, you know, look at lack of proven production at wide receiver. That's fair. I think that's fair.
No problem.
But I think we got the quarterback to get it done, and I think we have the talent at wide receiver to get it done. They're going to be tested because these are good man corners they're going to have to play. You know, when you look at conversely, what their offense is going to have to deal with, our D line is, we're not 8 deep at D tackle. We 8 deep at defensive end, though. I don't know if all 8 going to play. I will say that. But I think we're a deeper unit. I think we're a much bigger unit up the middle, especially than we have been in some recent years. And the ends, I think, you know, we're going to be able to give them some different looks with some speed guys, with some straight power guys. I think we'll have that quarterback uncomfortable, and I think they'll have to lean into the running game. And I believe the Heavenman's going to be like, beat us with your arm. And I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. I just don't think this is the game for that. You know, maybe if he done played 6-7 games and this was his 8th game, and he had more confidence built up and all that by then. But in this particular game, I just don't see where it'll be a game for him to go out there and throw the ball around.
Yeah.
So
one thing I want to say too also is I gotta give Coach Dawson credit, man. He's been here 2 years, man, and we've had a good offense each year, even with a brain dead guy that left us that we wanted to get rid of the year before in Cameron. And we have the number one offense in the nation. And he's did this 2 years with mostly guys who can't even crack NFL teams. You know what I'm saying?
Right. True indeed.
Yeah, Cam was great. I mean, I'm taking nothing from Cam. Cam was great. He was phenomenal, generational for us. But Dawson was drawing up some plays. He was putting those guys in position to make them plays.
For sure.
And I feel he's going to do the same thing this year.
Couldn't agree more. You got to, you know, and I'm always the type of person I say, show me again. I never like to go off of one because I tell people, I done did some shit one time. That I can't do again. So that's not that impressive to me. I could pull the rabbit out the hat here and there too, but I think he's starting to build a resume that'll lend to you being like, all right, you really got to respect it. And if you look around, there's one thing I want, you know, Notre Dame fans, Miami fans, anybody else that's haters of Miami to understand, the national media got no reason to show us love, right? So us being rated number 10 in the AP, right? That's Associated Press. And then number 10 by the even harsher critics, the coaches. The coaches really feel a totally different way most of the time than just these newspapers do. It's because there's something going right in Miami. There's something that is happening that they're saying, oh, Mario putting together something. It ain't all been number one classes, but you know, between that transfer portal, some recruiting, some moving around coordinators, it's working. And it's building something that's better and better than every year that he's came in. And I think even if you listen to him, he sounds the most confident I've heard him since he's been our coach. You know, when he came in, I even heard him correct the guy one time. They were saying, like, all the talent you got. He's like, all right, hey, hold on. Hell no. Nah. When I got here, wasn't no bunch of talent when I got here. That's some bullshit. That's what y'all said, but I can see it. I know what talent looked like, and it wasn't it. I think he's finally to a place now where he feels like, all right, I really got to handle business because I really think this team could do some things. I think it could be a special team in a special season. But back to the game in particular, I just think early game, you usually don't see a lot of points in general just because the offense is always behind the defense to get going. So I think that bowl's even worse for them in this particular situation. And I think we do a good job at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football, which is going to be key. And I think with so much improved in the secondary that it's going to be hard to move that ball through the air. I honestly just don't see him being able to sit there and pick us apart. I like Miami, like I say, early game in the season. I'm going to take Miami 28-13.
I love him. I think I gave a prediction. We did a prediction last time, but I'm going to say 38-17. Yeah, 38-17. I think we're going to be able to score, man. We're going to run that ball. I think I just like what Mario built with the offensive line, man. I love what he did with the offensive line. And Beck going to give him hell when he's able to throw the ball, and then we'll turn around and hand it to one of those guys in the second half and keep it going, man.
Go ahead. I mean,
I don't care. I got no respect for the Irish. They get no respect over here. I'm not doing nothing. We kicking ass.
I totally think we're gonna dominate the game. I only reason I shy away from more points because I think this is still gonna be a top 10 offense, even with Carson Beck instead of Cam Ward. I still think, again, credit to Shannon Dawson, I think you're going to see a top 10 offense. I just think it's first game, and I think we're playing a good defense. I think if we get up to, like, the mark you saying, I think we pull off two turnovers and that give us a couple of easy scores that could, yeah, give us those extra 10 points that I'm not accounting for right now. So I'm going to ask you real quick before we get out of here, what is who would be your X-factor player for this game for Miami?
My X-factor player for Miami is going to be Elijah Lofton on offense. Defense is going to be Torrey. How you pronounce it? Torrey.
Yeah, Torrey, the linebacker. Torrey. Okay. I like those. I tweeted out earlier. I was on the 26th. I tweeted out Armando Blunt. I think his ability to, you know, starter is kind of, you know, here nor there. We'll rotate. And his ability at that size, I think, to kick inside too. If he can get out there and really be very disruptive, I think he's slept on, is like incredibly slept on. If you forget, he's, you know, just turned 18. He's got a grown man body already, man. Like, I really think you're looking at a specimen. You know, I heard that he mean on that field. It's a really bright kid, you know, Dean's List type dude. But on that field, he's a menace. And I think quiet is kept. You're going to be like, oh, we kind of forgot about Armando Blunt. And I think if he can go crazy in this game, it could make a big difference on how this game turns out. And offensively, I think the X factor, I'm gonna go actually Jordan Lyle. I think if Jordan Lyle can kind of get, we know he's got the explosive ability. And I know this is going to be a pretty good defense. I think they'll be able to bottle up some of these, you know, bottle up the running game to an extent. I think if he's able to rip off a couple of big chunk runs, that can make all the difference in the world, give us some good field position, and then, you know, move the offense into a different state of mind. So I'm going to go with Jordan Lyle and also, you know, his ability to catch the ball too. So I think he could be a guy. It much like you think with Lofton, where we can get him the ball in a couple of different ways. And I think once he's got the ball, it's trouble for secondaries. So we're going to see how that plays out, man. That's really all I got for him. Big Miami. It's going to be crazy at the Rock. I'll be the worst seats I ever got in Miami. But, you know, I had to pull up for this one.
These tickets is going crazy, man. But
through the roof.
Down Saturday, man. Don't forget, we're gonna be at Club Kelsey's. The flyer's on my own page. Saturday is a free day party. Y'all can come out and party, vibe. You know, we'll be able to watch the games, watch the Alabama beat up on that team in Leon County. And that Sunday. You know, big tailgate, man. It's gonna be live, lots of food.
No doubt.
No, just pull up. You know how we do, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, man. Like I said last time, man. See y'all in the playoffs. Feeling real good about this team. Ain't no sense of being scared. If you're scared, please go to church. There's absolutely no reason to be scared. It's game one. Who should we feel but God, bro? Let's get it. Let's go, Canes, man. We up out of here.
Kings, peace.
Peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.